post anything you don't want on the internet. Parsha is Parsha Re'e. And recapitulate, this is all Moshe's sort of recapitulation of all the halakhot they're going to need going to Eretz Yisrael, and it goes through the laws of kashrut. All the list of the birds you can eat. And the laws end with the following pasuk, Lo tochlu kol nevela. As our scroll puts it, you shall not eat any carcass. You can give it to the stranger in your gates. You can sell it to a non-Jew. Because you are holy to the Lord your God. Don't eat cheeseburgers. And we've talked about how you get cheeseburgers out of that sentence, but that's not what we're talking about. Question is, what is Lo Tochlu Kol Nevela mean? Nevela means a dead animal. It's a carcass. Okay? So it says, don't eat any dead animal. You can't eat a live animal either. So right. Obviously, God wants us to be vegetarians. Right? You're holy. Don't eat meat.
There you go.
And you can argue that. People will argue that. But they're not going to get it from this pasuk, because I'm not.
I like that quote.
You ever heard the John Cleese one? God did not intend to see animals. Why do you make them full of meat? Right? They're delicious. And so whether it's appropriate to eat meat or not is a separate question. And we can talk about the, you know, Rav Kook and vegetarianism, but clearly you're allowed to. So our scroll explains, right? We already know this, that nevela doesn't mean any dead animal in this context. It means a carcass, a dead animal that was not killed according to the rules. And we have rules for that, right? That's the way the Arch Chumash. And the Vela is an animal that died, i.e. a kosher species that died without Shechita. Okay, we have to shech that animal. Like Ariel told me, he took a whole course in that. He knows exactly how to do this. Okay, but the thing is that the rules aren't in the Torah. It doesn't say anywhere how you're supposed to shech an animal. Okay, it's part of Torah Shabbat Peh. Which we believe that, you know, they were given to which explains the rules. Torah Shobitav says, don't eat. Torah Shobitav says, what does that mean? Where are the rules? What are the, how is it that we're supposed to go about creating this delicious meat, for me comes out of a plastic wrap package, and I don't deal with it, but I know full well it comes out of an animal. We have to slaughter animals. Are you a vegetarian, Phils?
Nope.
Because meat's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. And the other thing that this week's parsha also explicitly says, you're allowed to eat meat. It starts with the discussion of the Amakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, that we go to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have a Beit HaBechira, one place where you're going to bring all your kavanot. And if you want to eat from a carbon, you have to bring a carbon. A carbon shlamim is one you can eat, and you bring it, and you have to bring that to the one place, the one central place. And in fact, while they're wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, that's the only way they could eat meat. They had to bring a carbon shlamim to the Mishkan, and then you could eat that. However, they're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, they're not going to be able to get to Yerushalayim in time for dinner, especially if you live in Carmel, which is a 3-hour train ride. So you have to eat meat. So this is the way the pasuk puts it. Rak b'chol habat nafshecha tizbach. But this is after the discussion of, okay, you can only bring karbanot in the one place. But whatever you want to eat, whatever kol habat nafshecha, whatever your heart desires, tizbach, you can slaughter, b'chalta basar, and you can eat meat. Giver kar Hashem b'lkecha shetan lach. According to what Hashem has given you, that whatever you can afford for meat, that's fine. You can eat it with your tame tahar. It's nothing to do with kedusha there. Just like deer and rams, which are not bros karbanot, you can eat meat. You can't eat blood. You need to spill it out, as opposed to a karban shlamin, where you select the animal, the blood is spilled onto the mizbeach, and then you get to eat it. And then it continues, if Hashem should increase your borders the way he's told you, you'll spread out throughout the land. And you'll say, I want to eat meat, because I really want this. It has a sense of tava here. which is kind of the argument that it's one of these mitzvot that lo divrei Torah ela keneged yetzer hara. You know, that's the argument in favor of the vegetarian, is that God's conceding the point.
So it's really a mitzvah?
What?
It's a mitzvah?
No, it's like tolerated.
Yeah, right. I want to eat meat because you really want it, right? You're lusting, tava. You're lusting for meat. Okay, so God says, here, you can do it. So whatever meat you want to eat, you can eat. Plus, you're too far from the Beit HaMikdash. You can't bring a carbon out there. And you show, therefore, you should slaughter from your sheep and from your cattle and your sheep. Hashem lach, what Hashem gives you. Kasher tzviticha, the way I have commanded you. Moshe speaking, you need to slaughter it the way I commanded you. You can eat it in your own homes. Whatever you want. A couple of notes on this. First, the term here is zavachta. Zavach means to butcher, to kill an animal for meat, specifically. But Yaakov, when Yaakov butchered a meal, bahar, in the mouth, and he brought his brothers together to eat. That's a meal. They all ate together. So zavicha is to kill the animal, and shchita is how you kill the animal, which is by slitting the neck. But that's not mentioned in our paragraph at all. It just says zavachta. But it says specifically, zavachta ibakar v'chazadcha, kasher tivticha, the way I have commanded you. For the slaughtering. And that's what Rashi says. Zavachta kasher tivticha, you should slaughter the animal as I've commanded you. L'manu sheyetzivu b'zavicha. That there are rules about zavicha, there are commandments. Hayach yichshat, how shechita is supposed to happen. Again, shechita is how you do zavicha. Those are the laws of shechting.
Interesting.
Okay? Torah Shabbat. So this is the only place where the Torah Peshepesav tells us explicitly that it's incomplete. We have no place where it gives us the rules for it and says kasher tzviticha. So here's our sort of proof that there must be another set of laws out there. Read the Torah and say, these are the laws that I need. There's something else there. Okay? That's Rashi saying that, right? From here we learn, so what it's doing here, the Torah Sheba'al Peh by reference, which I thought was a fascinating concept. I actually looked this up, it's Wikipedia, you're a lawyer, you know how this works. Incorporation by reference is the act of including a second document within another document by mentioning the second one.
Incorporation by reference. Ah, okay.
Right, right? Okay, so for instance, the mask mandate for St. Louis?
Yeah.
But it's impossible. Yes.
Danny, there's a sound. Is that
you? Like okay, you're hearing it too, Phyllis?
Yeah.
It's like a
little click. Phyllis, it's almost always when you've got your sound on.
It's me.
I don't want to blame you. It's me. I don't know.
It's
still
me.
There. Still hear the click.
Oh,
click,
you
click.
Mean if I'm not mute, I'll mute.
And then it goes away. But we want to hear you, so we'll live with a clicky noise. Please unmute, because I need the feedback. And now the clicky comes
in. It's not that feedback.
I don't hear clicking now. Do you hear it, Leia?
I don't hear it now.
Oh, good. Okay, so it's gone.
That was the old days. That phrase, ta'asher tziviticha?
Yeah.
Does that appear other places?
It does, like in the, where it mentions the Aseret HaDibra, the second time it talks about Shabbos being, you should shemar Shabbat, kasher tziviticha, and habet tziviticha v'timecha kasher tziviticha, as I've commanded you.
And that's the letter that already happened.
But there you can argue that, well, that's Moshe is referring to the previous time it was commanded. We know where it was commanded way back when they actually got the Torah. This is one where it says, Zavachtaka, you need to slaughter it the way I commanded you, and we don't have it anywhere. So that's Rashi's point. The fact that incorporation by reference.
Who did it again?
But incorporation by reference. Is that going to bug me?
No, it just it blurs your words for a second.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Incorporation by reference makes it impossible to understand any laws whatsoever.
Because you keep putting in all these things. The mask mandate.
Page and a half about wearing a mask. And then it's the last paragraph. This is the public, New St. Louis County. It's authorized pursuant to executive orders 10 and 18. 18. So I got to read those, which are incorporated here by reference.
And that means legally those are part of this document.
Right. Including the whole Missouri Constitution of Section 192.006. You know what these are? 192.200, all of these over here. I didn't look these up. The revised statutes of Missouri. The entire Chapter 44 is incorporated by reference. Chapter 19 is the I don't know what the CSR is. Okay. All of this over here. Okay. And the St. Louis County Charter and the St. Louis County Revised Ordinances. Thank you very much. Okay. Which I will say is intentional in halakha, right? You can't understand anything unless you learned everything altogether, right? The Torah Shebe'al Peh is part of the Torah, and we can't look at the Torah and read that. But so I was curious, actually, that what do they do with this Kasher Tzivit Yichud? Evidently, there is an active Karaite community still out there, and this is from Miodea, which is a wonderful website. It's the Stack Exchange where they can ask questions about Judaism. These are all from answers. They give you sources.
Oh, this is not a Karaite site. No,
this is the guy who's saying. So the guy who does it has a site called The Blue Thread, and he answered a question. So the question was asked, how do the Karaites explain Zavachta Kesher Tziviticha, right? Where does that come from? So what he says is, this refers to a few lines previously in which we are commanded to spill the blood on the ground.
Who says that? The Karaite.
Yes. Commanded beforehand, but I look back and says, Rakadamo tochelo al arestish bekano kamai. And my answer is not how you zoveach, that's what to do with the blood afterwards, but at least it answers the question. He's a religious Jew. So Kasher Tziviticha must refer to previously existing.
You're still on mute, Phyllis.
If you want
to. I was saying it's happening a lot.
It's happening a lot now.
I don't think it's me.
It's not you.
Oh, thank you. I'm not here. Oh, you're hearing it. It's fuzzing out.
Yeah, even when Phyllis is muted. So maybe it's me.
Could be me.
Now it's okay. So far.
Okay.
Wait, we'll see.
Okay.
So why don't you think that's a reference back to the blood thing? Kasher, CBT?
Well, because it seems inadequate. You need to slaughter the animal the way I commanded. And the only command we have is not about the Zavicha itself, it's what to do with the blood afterwards.
Oh.
I mean, you got to answer. Okay. I mean, Shadal, I will point out. Someone, David Luzzatto, who is a 19th century kind of modern commentator, agrees. He wants to read it strictly as pshat. He says the same thing. Source 11, Ladati, Musav, L'Isra, Adam, Hamor, Mamala. Right? That's what Kasher Tziviticha means. Because you're trying to read it without the Torah Shebe'al Peh. If you don't have that, you got to refer to something.
Right.
It's the only thing we can find. Right?
No, it's happening. It's not you, Leia.
Oh, it must be me.
Hey, it's not me. Stop talking. I've redeemed.
You know, and that used to happen when I was on. I moved some electronic piece here. I don't know if it was the microphone. I moved it farther away and it stopped. Do you remember it used to happen?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It was months ago, but.
But Abba, you don't hear it?
I don't, well, I'm talking to myself. I don't hear my own voice.
Yeah.
I don't hear my recording.
Oh, right.
Okay, so.
Okay.
So that's because, wait, you know, so if I'm trying to read pshat, pure pshat, which means without the sort of the hermeneutics of pshat means without the Torah Shebe'al Peh, how do I understand this that pasuk Kasher Tziviticha is referring to something else? But, is that necessary? And I did look this up because the same Blue Thread has a site that Karaites do have laws for slaughtering. They have laws of shechita that are more stringent than the halacha. He makes that point. The historical Karaite tradition, all four parts of the animal's throat must be completely cut. In halakha, it's two. It's the trachea and the esophagus have to be cut partly. Karaim say, no, you got to have trachea, esophagus, two carotids, completely slaughtered.
I might be vegetarian after this year.
That's right. That's why we get meat from packages in the store. We don't get brown. Right. Karaim believe the method of slaughter was known prior to the revelation at Sinai. As a result, the method has been passed down from generation to generation. There's something said for the fact that every historical Jewish community, at least of which I'm aware, slaughtered that Zvicha is regulated by tradition. That's why Karaites get their laws from. They put Minhag in there. It's not divinely mandated, I think. If you really want to know, talk to a Karaite theologian.
I'm confused. Is the blue thread Karaite? He's not actually a Karaite.
Yeah, he's a Karaite.
Oh, he's a Karaite.
Yeah, he has pictures. He has from the Egyptian Karaite community, lives in the U.S. now. And he's looking at it. You know, you wouldn't tell, you know, they wear yarmulkes and talises, even though they have nothing to do with. So they kind of, they do everything that, and they're, you know, at least in his website, they're very from, but they don't believe they're doing it because of Torah Shabbat Peh, that God commanded it. They do it because that's a tradition that we do. Like the only thing God commanded is in the Torah itself. That's correct.
They're not Jewish, right? Or
that I am not going to go anywhere near. Okay, I don't know the answer to that. It may be that they're halakhically Jewish. I don't know. Is it, you know, like the Ethiopian Jews? Is it, does that need something? Mm-hmm. Is that what? I don't know what the status. Mm. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi. But
Ethiopian Jews don't deny Torah Shabbat Peh. They just don't have access to it.
I agree. So I'm not going to paskin what to do with that, but I'm looking at this pasuk of Zavachta Kasher Tzviticha, and does that refer to Torah Shabbat Peh or to a previously existing law?
Right.
That's my question. Can I read this pasuk without saying, okay, here's proof of Torah Shabbat Peh? And was it Ramban? You got Torah Shabbat Peh, and that's Plitar Halacha Mivu Sinai. Reads it like the Karet. Very simple. He says Kasher Tzviticha refers to previous laws written in the Torah. The Tam Zavachta V'chule Kasher Tzviticha, right? You should slaughter them the way I've commanded. Adat Rav Tenu, first I'm going to cite Chazal. Kasher Tzviticha pi me'alacha m'losh m'sinai. Okay? That's Chazal. But that. Yishchita b'lashon HaKodesh. This is an introduction. Know that the term shchita, nishchot, hu hakarat simanei esor, means splitting the neck. The simanei mean the esophagus and the trachea. Hinei tziba b'karbanot, v'shachat, shachatu, v'simanei esor. So the term shchita applies, is mentioned in the Torah by the karbanot.
Right.
Here we have, beginning of Vayikra, shachat ben abakar, right, zevach, you're needing this. We're here in zevach shlamim karbanot. If you want to bring a zevach, you're butchering the animal for a karban shlamim, even about kar makriv, etc. It's bet v'samach yadol rosh karbanot v'shachato petach omoed. You need to shecht it in front of the omoed, and then v'zarku b'nei aron ha'kohanim b'adam, and then you sprinkle the blood, and then you get to eat the animal. Great. So the Ramban is going to read kasher tzivicha means you need to get your animals kasher the way I commanded you way back for the karbanot.
So it's not referring to just immediately, it's referring to with the karbanot, which makes sense because Hashem is basically comparing this to the karbanot and saying, okay, you can eat this just like you eat the karbanot.
Right. And he's saying you need to store it the same way. So in other words, right?
Yeah.
Right. Originally, when they're in the. If they want to eat meat, it has to be the karban shlamim. Maybe shukotim k'mishpata karbanot. That'd be slaughtered at the shechita as a karban. We just quoted that. Bata now shabala tir basar achulin. Now when Hashem says, okay, you're going to go into the land, you can now have secular meat. Amar v'zavachta b'karban tzadcha kasher tzviticha yotam karbanot. You have to do it with the same laws that I just did. Only difference is the blood. The karbanot was sprinkled the blood on the mizbeach. Here it's spill the blood on the ground. That's the difference. You could eat it. Chulin, not karbanot, wherever you want. Meaning, it's allowed to eat it as chulin anywhere. But sheyu zvuchin, that the way you slaughter it, kasher tziva mitzvat biotam klum korbanot. Zeh pshuto shel mekra al anacha. This clearly is pshuto. That's what Rambam is saying. B'shem rebo ten nitkavnu bazeh. And he says, well, it sounds like the Chazal agreed with this interpretation when they interpreted Sifri. Like Gemara Nechud, when it says, okay, it's the incorporating by reference the partial path, but in the Sifri it says, Kasher Tzviticha, meaning Ma Kodashim B'Shchita Af Chulim B'Shchita.
Oh, says it explicitly.
Yes. In a mitzvah Shchita, Mufresh B'Kan. So here we have to do Shchita, but Mufuret explained Midivre Rotena B'Kabbalah. That's still Torah Shabbat. Mm-hmm. So you have two steps. That we've had all the laws of Shechita by Karbanot, can't I say Gam Bechulim, so you should do with your own meat. So Kasher Tzviticha refers to the previous laws about Shechita, and the laws of Shechita, all it says is Shachat. It doesn't say how to do that. That comes from Torah Shalom Peh. The implication is that they're not being included by reference. We're not saying the document's here. It's using a term that you got to know from somewhere where it is, whether you're a Kara and say it's from tradition, or whether you're Rabbanit, you know, Orthodox Jewish, and you say it's Torah Shabbat Peh. It's not explicitly mentioned. Here's proof that we have a Torah Shabbat Peh. That's not something you can learn out of the Torah Shabbat Peh itself. I think the reasons for this relates to Liara. Pointed out to me.
What? Oh.
This is Drush Yudchet of the Beis HaLevi.
Oh.
Okay. And part of the idea is that if Kasher Tzviticha refers to Torah Shel Peh, it's incorporated reference, then Torah Shel Peh now is, I use the word discoverable. I get this notices all the time in the hospital. This is from my boss, okay?
Oh, okay. I was like, I don't think Sarah ever said something like this.
the director,
that was literally my first thought. And then I realized, no, you actually.
Right. Okay. If there's ever an incident, her risk management is she never documented in the note. So your hospital note should be absolute and factual. Patient got 25 milligrams of albuterol. In your incident report, which is internal, you can point out that you could, your opinion that Dr. So-and-so was an idiot and made the mistake, it should have been 2.5 milligrams. But there are things that don't belong in the hospital record because that's what the lawyers are going to see. Okay? The incident report should never be documented. No, that an incident report was filed. If you say, I have written an incident report, now the lawyers can say, let me see that incident report.
Oh, where is it?
Right? Incident report and the follow-up need to remain internal and confidential. Okay, those are two separate things. And if you mention one or the other, now it's part of the, it basically it's incorporated. I now can go ask, can I see that? Because you mentioned in the discovery, the nurse said behind the scene. What does that have to do with the Torah Shel Peh? Right? Because if Kasher Tzviticha refers to something outside the Torah, then we say, when I'm reading the Torah, I need this other text, the Torah Shel Peh. You don't want to imply there's another text. There is no other text of called Torah Shel Peh.
Oh, so it's like the issue.
Torah.
Right.
That's the point. You know, the fact that we've written down a Gemara kind of blinds us to that fact.
Right.
But it is not a text that we can say, okay, read this and then read that. So basically, we start with the Midrash. Yomer Hashem Moshe, Ketov Lecha Devarim Ha'ela. Right? Hashem tells Moshe, before he goes to Har Sinai, write these things down. He appeared to Rima Ela because by word of these things, Karati Itcha Brit Bet Yisrael. I'm creating this covenant with you and Yisrael.
It is always funny to like point to the Talmud and say that's the oral law.
Right.
That's a huge. All right. That's a huge problem to say. Like, really, that's in fact wrong.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's always the complaint I would point out about Art Scroll. Translation that pointed out is that you can't read the Talmud. You haven't gotten what it means. You can read the words in there, but if you just sit there and just read through all the words, you haven't learned Torah Shel Peh. Okay, so this is the Midrash. Hadug Tiv, and he's going to bring in the Pasuk from Hosea when it says, Echtov lo rubei torati, mozar nechashavu. Hosea, is quoting Hashem that Bnei Yisrael, Hashem tells Bnei Yisrael, I have written you the greatness of my Torah, and it's considered like a stranger, a complaint. That's pasuk from Hosea. Here's the midrash. B'shasha nigla HaKadosh Baruch Hu hu b'Sinai, l'tein Torah Yisrael. When Hashem appeared to Bnei Yisrael to give him the Torah. Amra la Moshe al seder, then Hashem taught Moshe Mikra Mishnah Talmud v'Agada. Torah, the Mikra Torah Shebiktav, even though it was written down, but here are the words, and what we call Torah Pel, Mishnah Talmud v'Agada, all the explanations thereof. Shedemar v'Diber al Kimei Kol Rima Eila, and Afilu Mashet Talmud Shoel the Rav Amar Karish Berkul Moshe Oto Shah. We've all heard this before. It's exactly what that means, but the idea is text plus Torah Shabbat. Me'acha shalamda mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So after Moshe learns this from Hashem, Amar lo lamda Yisrael. And Hashem said, okay, Moshe, you're going to go down and teach this all to Bnei Yisrael. Amar lefaz. Moshe looks at Hashem and says, Echtobod lahem. Okay, I can write this. Why write the whole thing down? It'd be a lot easier. Okay, our school's going to do it in 3,000 years anyway. Let's just write this down. Amar lo. So Hashem says, no. And I don't want to write this all down. If nay, why? She goli lefanai, because I was revealed to me. She ovde kachavim or atidim lishlopahem, because the non-Jews are going to eventually rule over them, control the Jews. The litol otamehem, and they're going to take this from them. You bezuyim ovde kachavim, and it'll be that ovde kachavim are going to score, are going to treat it shabbily. They're going to scorn the Torah. Ela mikra ni tanehem echtad. So I'm going to give them mikra. Given it's written Torah, but Mishnah, Talmud Agada, and this other part will remain oral. Any other Talmud Hamba Alpeh, that will be oral. You will have to teach them what now. Now, Yavo Ovdei Chachavim, because the hundreds will come, Yishtabu Bahem, and enslave them. You move the Limahem, they'll still have this distinction. So that's what the Navi says. Hosea says they want to. So Chazal are reading this Echtov Lo Rubi Torah not as a imperfect past, and I was giving them the Torah, the greatest of my Torah, but in the subjunctive. Im echtov lo rubei Torati. If I had written down the greatness of my Torah, it would come to something strange, something different. So therefore, I need a tenetem mikra b'ktav. We talked before that the mikra is the text, and it wasn't written down for 40 years, but still, it was a fixed text. A Mishnah, a Talmud, but Gada about Pet, and the rest of it is going to be oral. That's Ketov. Like Hashem says, Ketov lecha debri me'ela. Write these words down. That's the Mikra. Ki al pi debri me'ela. That's al pi. Then Mishnah, Talmud, Shem Avdilim ben Yisrael ben Odei Kachavim. Okay, because Torah Shel Pet represents our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe. Lo nitana kol b'ktav. Moshe wasn't given everything written down. Not everything was written. Mishum she'umat olam hayu notlino to, because the non-Jews would take this Torah. And the point is not that we going to learn Torah, but if they're not going to have the relationship to it, they're just going to take it. B'kumo she'ino achar kach be. What are you talking about, Leah?
What, the Septuagint?
Thank you. Very good. Right? We made Talmai.
You saw me falling asleep. I'm here. I'm just tired.
On Asara Bateve, one of the things we fast on is the fact that that's when the Torah was translated into Greek. When it was turned into a tradition, turned from a tradition rather into a book.
The written Torah,
right. It was still a bad thing. It was still a tragedy translating the Torah. They translated the Torah to Biktav. That's the Septuagint. And that that's one thing we fast for.
Right. Why was that a tragedy?
Because it symbolizes that change from being a Masorah to being yet another book that the Greeks could put on their shelves right next to Plato and everything else. That's fine. But it took something away from what it meant to learn Torah.
Also, just on a simple level, didn't it change, like, it made the meaning of the words. I mean,
a translation is always Right.
Lost in translation.
Traduria, translator is a traitor. Yes. That's some Italian saying. Right, but I think that's what it means, is that you're taking what you should be learning. Okay, this has subtlety and depth of meaning, and fixing it into one particular, feeding it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's what it means to take it into, turn into it from a Masorah to a text. Okay. Umishum hachi natan bal peh. That's why Hashem wants to say, okay, the bulk of it is going to be bal peh. So lo yakablu mehem, because though that the non-Jews can't take that. Yisrael mugdalim mehem, and Yisrael will be separate. Ukmosha nachnu rat. The ikar matil mi Yisrael mata olam hu. Right, the Christians will have their interpretations. Muslims have it. What makes us different is we have this Torah Shvot. And
so was there resistance to Yehuda HaNasi when he writes the Mishnah?
Yes, that's explicitly called Eit Lasot LaShem Heferu Torah Techa. It's time to act for God. They are uprooting the Torah. Gemara says that.
Okay.
It was an act of uprooting.
Uh-huh.
But was there resistance, or just was accepted that this is what's necessary at the time?
We don't know. We don't have any of the politics. I'm going to assume that there was some degree of, if not explicit, okay, we have to do this, at least from your Nasi is like thinking,
he's the Nasi.
Right. And so internal resistance, right? I mean, to say that this was an example of Heferu Torah Techa. They have nullified the Torah in order to do this.
It's kind of ironic, though, because he did that because they were going to go into Galus, right? And the reason Hashem made it Torah Shebaal Peh is because we were going to go into Galus.
That's true.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know what of it.
I may mention what you make of that, right? But
also it's the rabbis who are saying that whatever the rabbis say, God told Moses. They're the ones who are claiming it's
as a Masorah. Okay,
you know, but they are the Masorah.
It's their words. Our words are true.
Right, so the irony of writing it down is that that limits their power. Once it's written down, you can't say you own it anymore.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And then now I can go independently and then look what Rabbi Nasi wrote. I can't say, okay, I need to find a rabbi who's written, Pemet.
Yeah.
So writing it down actually reduces the power of the rabbis to say this is Torah Shebaal Peh.
Okay.
So here, the brit in Israel, that the brit between Hashem and Israel was El Bishvil Shebaal Peh, plus the Torah Shebaal Peh, all the rest of it, sort of the outside the Torah itself. That's what he says over here, the Al Peh. Again, it's not so much, I don't want the non-Jews to learn Torah, I just don't, I know that they're going to treat it wrong as a book. That's true for us as well, that we can't treat it as a book. You can't read the Talmud. You got to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically, he brings the first of the book, according to Yerushalmi, included everything. There was no Torah Shebaal Peh that Hashem, the first time around, that this Ketov and Alpi was the second book. First time around, Hashem wrote everything down on the two tablets, right? There was no Masorah. Okay, this is Yerushalmi. It says that the first Luchot they were written on both sides. This and this was written. Hanina ben Achi Rabbi Yoshua, Hanina the son of brother and the nephew of Rabbi Yoshua. By the name of that. Omer said, Bain kol dibur v'dibur, between each dibur on these Luchot, Dukev Ototek Shal Torah, had all the Dukim, all the laws, all every detail was written on. The Yerushalmi. But that changed with the second report. So we have a little bit Bithab and most of it, and the way the Bezalevi said, we need all these days there. So that when it was given afterwards, it was separate Baal Peh, that's Masorah, from one person to the next. It alu by Yisrael Mala Gadol Yoter. That brought B'nai Yisrael themselves to a higher level. We could maybe code them that before the Chol Torah had removed all the Torah was hinted at. You could read the Torah and get everything. I'm not sure what that means, but that the idea that there wasn't a separate Torah Baal Peh, but Yisrael about Torah Shnei Inyan. Then B'nai Yisrael and the Torah were two separate things.
Yeah.
Yisrael Hema Makayim the Torah. That we keep the Torah, but from the Torah, we guard it. We're like an Aron Kodesh. The Torah is put inside of it. That B'nai Yisrael would be the ones who serve the Kedusha. We keep the Torah. But now, that we have the Torah Shabbat Peh. Nim said Yisrael, Torah Shabbat Peh. We are the cloth. We are the parchment on which the Torah Shabbat Peh is written. Atvim aluach li'acha. Okay, you have Torah Shabbat Peh over there. We Torah Shabbat Tzav over there, and we are the Torah Shabbat Peh. Moshe Kalafchal Sefer Torah Etzim Akedusha. Just like the parchment is what is holy. No touch. It's not an accoutrement of it. The Kalaf Akatav Shekatubo. The parchment and the writing on it. Shnei Biyachad. With this. Torah and B'nai Yisrael are one thing, that we are the Torah.
Ooh, that's pretty heavy.
It is.
Yeah.
You okay with that metaphor? You're right?
Yeah.
First of all, Peh exists only in the mind of Knesset Yisrael as a community. All the art school books that are written down there, they'll remind us of all of that. But if we didn't exist, Torah Shabbat Peh would not exist. You couldn't reconstruct it out of just reading art school.
To be fair, they were also eight lasso lashem and fair tartach in a sense with people that didn't know Hebrew.
I agree. I'm not complaining about these arts. Well, you just need to realize what it was. Right.
Where the limitations are.
Right. That what it represents. It's
and
not.
And also, Torah Shabbat Peh can't mean only what was done 500 years ago, and it's not still evolving in our lifetime.
Okay, so we talked about that. Torah Shabbat Peh has two different meanings. One is the idea that Hashem has, okay, here's the rules that I gave Moshe, and then there's that which exists in the mind of Knesset Yisrael.
More rules?
What we consider Torah. Yeah, so that's the part that does change with time. We apply in different situations, we forget things, we try to reconstruct it. Our emunah, we have faith, that it's pretty similar to what was then. But I can't guarantee it because we're only human. And that's part of what Lo B'Shamayim he is that Hashem is saying here, right? Torah B'Ketav is not Lo B'Shamayim he, that's the text that it's got, you need to keep that fixed. Lo B'Shamayim he means Torah Shabbat Peh is people. It's like Soylent Green.
Like what?
Soylent Green? Old science fiction movie. It's the punchline is it's a nutritional food that's going to save humanity from starving.
Oh, it's like Sploosh.
Yeah, but it turns out to be people.
Oh.
Soylent Green is people. Sorry. You're definitely going to be a vegetarian from now on.
Oy, oy, oy.
Anyway, but Torah Shabbat Peh is people, but not.
I like the metaphor of the parchment, that we're the parchment.
Yeah, I really like that metaphor also. Right. That's right.
And I will end with the introduction to the entrance of the Ketzos HaChoshen, which is the summary.
Oh, there it is. The cleft from which, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so this is let me read. This is the introduction to the Ketzos HaChoshen, which is the main anthology of halachas of business and money, Choshen Mishpat.
Okay.
His introduction is probably the best part.
Oh, really?
Well, depends if you like learning halacha or not. Kuma kvar mar gemara, lo kara akash baruch hu brit im Yisrael el bishvil Torah Shabbat Peh. We just quoted that, right? The brit between B'nai Yisrael and Hashem was the Torah Shabbat Peh. It says, al piyat debrim ha'ela. Hu kritat brit v'ahava nifla'a. This is Hashem's great love. Jantan lana Torah Shabbat Peh, the matana gemura. Hashem gave us this Torah. The Torah Shabbat Peh, that's given to us. And there's a gemara upon it in the midrash about Midbar Matana, when it talks about when they're going from the wilderness into a city called Matana, they read it as from the wilderness, they got a gift.
Oh, nice.
That's the end of Parshat Chukat, has that. Midbar Matana, Midmatana, Nachliel. Ramubishas, Torah Ruba Baal Peh, Miyubikta. Right. Most of the Torah in the sense of laws are Baal Peh, only a little bit is written. That's a quote. That's a quote we have from Moshe. If I had written it down, then it would be. Do we become a stranger? We talked about the non-Jews, but the Kosher shows you that's true for Jews too. I know. If everything was just written down, that we need to, we're supposed to read it, then we would be strangers to it. We say this is all divine wisdom. It's over there. I have no idea how to read or understand it. But Torah Shabbat Peh, Mishalanahu. Torah Shabbat Peh is ours. It's us.
Nice.
Okay, so we are the cloth in which the Torah Shabbat Peh is written. And yes, you can enjoy your steak because the Torah how to make meat in a way that is acceptable to us.
This guy, very
nice.
Thank you.
And we'll end.
I think I need to go.